Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, host of the Herb Podcast. Welcome to our show and episode 481. Woohoo! As we share the truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, her guy's health. What? Yeah, you better know about his health, whoever the his is in your life. Because there's some secrets there, and you better know them all. And this is going to be a great show with one of my besties on. Oh boy, before we begin, please know that this episode is sponsored by Solaray Vitamins, S-O-L-A-R-A-Y, vitamins, minerals, and herbs rooted in nature. They have a special gift for women. The new award-winning Her Life Stages products, providing support for the menstrual years, including PMS, ouch, perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause. Yeah, it's an integrative, holistic approach to having a woman's back throughout her entire hormonal journey. To learn more about Her Life Stages, run on over to your local health food store, run on over to Whole Foods, Sprouts, Amazon, or just run on over to solaray.com. And if you go to the website, use the promo code HER20 for 20% off. Boy, you'll be glad you did. All right, now here's your first reminder to click on iTunes to rate and review today's show, because the Her Podcast team just sits around waiting to hear from you. That's all we do in life. Okay. All right, that was a little stretch of the truth, but it was close. Now, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast,
the naked truth about women,
her mind, her body, her life. It's all about her.
You know, here on the Her Podcast, what we do is we talk all about women's health and women's stuff and things pertaining to women. And all of that is just fantastic. Okay. But what about what you don't know about the health of guys in your life? What? Why is that important? Because, honey, you're the one ordering all the tests and making all the medical appointments and doing all that stuff. And, you know, it occurred to me, you need a little tutorial on some of the wild and crazy things going on in a guy's health that really, quite frankly, may impact you in ways that you don't even know. Because that's the way the world goes. So I grabbed one of my, as I said before, besties, Dr. Maish Seibel. Now, Maish and I have known each other forever, and that rhymes with, like, maybe even before we were born, as he said. He served 25 years as a member of the Harvard Medical Faculty. He's the author of so many best-selling books. You probably grabbed some of these along the way. Remember The Estrogen Window, The Estrogen Fix? Oh, my goodness gracious. And he's editor of the number one digital magazine for midlife women, The Hot Years. How could you say that, Maish? Oh, my gosh. And also, he published a book that I have found ridiculously informative, and that was Working Through Menopause in 2022. And in this, he really looked at what happens to women, you know, in menopause when they go to the workplace. What's going on? Are we addressing these issues? But the most important thing is Maish is a guy, and he kind of gets it with the whole guy thing. And what I wanted him to do was, as a well-esteemed, nationally renowned physician and scientist, could he enlighten us about what up with men and their health? So, Maish, welcome to the Her Podcast.
Wow, that was some build-up to this discussion, and I'm delighted to join you today.
Oh, my goodness gracious. So, you know, I promise you, we just sort of play. So everyone out there in the Herb Podcast land, you know, we're about ready to play. So, like, I'm looking at my husband, and I'm saying to myself, do I really understand everything that's going on with this guy? And how different we are about so many things, from what we eat to exercise to sleep, all these little health kind of things. So help us understand some differences, even similarities.
Well, you bring up a very basic and fundamental human reality. Men and women are different.
No, stop it.
No, it's true. And it's even true for how they view health. And it's really kind of remarkable. It's like 72% of men, according to a Cleveland Clinic survey, would rather do household chores like cleaning the bathroom or mow the lawn than go to the doctor.
Ooh, come on now. I'm going to remember that one.
So they do not like going to the doctor. And 20% of men admit, even when they go, they haven't been completely honest with their doctor. It's even to the point, I mean, women are very good about going for their annual checkups and making sure that they're proactive about their health. And men are just the opposite. It's like only half of men actually consider an annual checkup as a regular part of taking care of themselves. So they basically are neglecting themselves. And that leads to a whole lot of problems for men. And it's important for women to understand that guys are not standing in line to go take care of themselves. And there's a lot of reasons for that. The most common reasons that people won't go to the doctor here is for the reasons that many people don't seek health care. And that is, they're either embarrassed about it, they are afraid of what they may find out, or they're just completely uninformed and they don't have a clue about why they should be going. A lot of men really don't want to hear what they need to change in order to get healthier. They're not really emotionally ready to give up the diet or the lifestyle that they are accustomed to.
Are men different about change? You know, like that whole issue of change is so inherent in what we have to do to take care of ourselves. When someone enlightens you and says, what, you're eating frosted snowflakes in the morning? I mean, what are you doing? Like, that's nothing but a bunch of ultra processed food. But you're saying, I don't know, I kind of like it though, you know, and whatever. Do men and women do change differently?
Well, if you ask a guy to change his golf swing, he's probably going to listen to you about that. But if you ask a guy to change his diet, maybe not.
Maybe not.
You know,
okay.
He likes his beer. He likes his beef. It's very hard to get men to change what they're doing. And it's really kind of a crisis situation because a lot of men want to be healthy for their loved ones and to be around for them, but they really are not either aware of what to do, willing to do what they need to do, or even willing to find out what they want to do. Now, Mark Twain said, all generalizations are inaccurate, including this one. But I will say to you, though, that as a generalization, men are quite reluctant. A lot of it has to do with being a guy. I mean, 41% of men were told as a child, men don't complain about their health issues. You know, suck it up. You can deal with it. Men don't cry. That's all inherent in the DNA of being a guy. And overcoming that leads to problems later in life. And some 82% of men try to stay healthy and live longer for their friends, as I mentioned earlier, but only 50% are willing to consider preventive health issues. And you know, it's easier to stay well than it is to get well. But most guys will end up waiting, even when they know they have something is wrong, because they're afraid of finding out that something is wrong. And so there's a lot of data on this, and you know, it's inherent in the male psyche, and it's unfortunate, but women are very important in men's lives. Our partners are very important in men's lives. But we know that, you know, married couples, it turns out that they live longer than unmarried couples. And there's something about the two together. I mean, women live on average about 79 years. Men on average live around 73 years. So there's about almost a 6-year gap between the longevity of men and women on average. And some of that is, even though together they live about 2 years longer than unmarried couples, there's still this inherent reluctance of men to do everything that they can to really take care of themselves in a proactive way. I think it's very important because women can play a very big role in the health and well-being of the men that they love, if it's not your spouse or your partner, or it could even be your parent. Whoever it is, the men in your life need some help and they need some encouragement. I mean, men, just as habitually, they like to avoid doctors, as I said, they ignore unusual symptoms. But if they don't go regularly, there's no way they're going to find out if they have elevated blood pressure and if they have elevated weight. People don't recognize they're overweight. They just always look that way. So they're not aware of it.
Hold that thought for a second. Women tend to obviously do this whole appearance thing. And the whole landscape of what a woman looks like these days is changing so dramatically for so many different reasons. But when it really affects health, and it could be everything from spending way too much time unprotected in the sun, so you got to clean up that little act, versus also really talking about preventing diabetes and trying to stave off, you know, issues as they relate to obesity, for instance, because obesity and overweightedness are ubiquitous now in our society. So it's interesting. Women oftentimes will kind of look at each other very critically and say, you know, she really needs to kind of, you know, do a little more exercise, or, you know, rein in the extra food or alcohol or whatever the issue is. I'm curious, do guys do that too? Do they see a guy, you know, with a big belly, which is, you know, kind of the guy thing? Do they say things kind of snarkily or otherwise like, hey, you know, how about hitting the gym? Or did you just eat an entire herd of cattle last night for dinner? I mean, what's going on? Or do they just pass that over and say, nah, he's a guy?
I mean, guys are more likely to say to each other, let's hit the gym, than they already hit the gym. It's like, let's go for a drink. Sure, there are guys that are very active in exercise and they're very interested in keeping their bodies fit and in shape. But men are a lot more tolerant of non-ideal body weights. And a lot of people don't realize that if your waistline gets up to 40 inches, which today isn't that big anymore, it's still large, but it's not that big anymore, that increases your risk for increased heart attack risk, increased high blood pressure risk, increased diabetes risk. And these are things that women could at least encourage men to hit the gym a little bit more. And one way that they can do it is say, why don't we have a gym night together, turn it into a date night together? And they could do it, and she could be proactive in his care, and it would be good for her and for him. And also, you mentioned skin cancer. I mean, it turns out that women are more likely to get skin cancer before age 50, but men are much more likely to get skin cancer after age 50.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, there's a factoid.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Get out of here.
And men are twice as likely to die from melanoma, to get melanoma, and to die from it. Some of it is the fact that a lot of men work out in the sun and so forth. They have outdoor jobs, but a lot of it, too, is, you know, they just feel like that little thing will go away. It can't be that big of a deal. And, of course, in every kind of cancer and any illness, as a matter of fact, the earlier you find it, the earlier you address it, the more likely you are to walk away from it as a cured and healthy individual. And so early detection is so important, and yet guys are always putting it off. Eh, I can wait. And men are not that easy talking about their feelings. I mean, you can get a bunch of guys under the hood of a car And they'll talk about the carburetor. And while they're in there with that, they'll also talk about some of the other stuff that's on their minds. But if you just get a man and try to get him to talk about his feelings, often he won't, or he'll be reluctant to, or he'll reserve most of what he's really thinking and give you a taste of it.
Why? Why is he doing this?
Doesn't want to be weak. Men are strong. We see this in so many people. Behavior is really to sort of, I guess, men were protectors in cavemen days and so forth. And I guess some of that stuck in.
Well, that went to hell.
It didn't last, but you know.
Yeah, like not so much today. But I think that there's, I just find that so many of my female friends, and maybe out there on the Her Podcast land, you might agree that a frustration is that men won't talk within the relationship. You know, they'll talk about, you know, buying a new car, about some home repairs, about the work, about raising kids or whatever. It's more practical stuff. But when it comes to like, how do you feel about that? Yeah, then all of a sudden, you know, they're looking for an exit sign. Why is that, Maish? I've always wondered.
Again, I think a lot of men are not comfortable talking about their soft sides or their private sides, their internal sides, to not be exposed as weak or vulnerable. But I think that has a lot to do with it. But there are things, though, that I think I wanted to mention for women that they could be aware of about the men in their lives to consider, because I do think it's important. You know, a lot of times when you have a family history of breast cancer, for instance, you think about, well, that's very important for me as a woman to have a breast cancer checkup and so forth. But also for certain genetic conditions like the BRCA or the breast cancer gene, men are also at increased risk for breast cancer. So if a male has a strong family history of breast cancer in his family, then it's important to do genetic testing, because about 1% of breast cancers are in men. And that's about 2,500, 2,600 deaths a year. And men go and get mammograms too. You may not realize that, but men do get breast cancer. They do get mammograms, particularly if they have certain genetic predispositions. So if you have a family history of breast cancer, talk to the man in your life about getting tested. And if they have that gene, they're also at increased risk for pancreatic cancer, for melanoma, for prostate cancer. They have a much higher risk of prostate cancer. All of these things can be proactively, can't prevent them, but you can find them very early and turn around the history and the potential risks of it by active evaluations and ongoing surveillance.
I think it's really important for women to know, you know, piling on to what you just said, Maish, about things that you need to remind guys about in terms of prevention. And that, you know, prostate's a big one. I did a big study involving prostate cancer and some of its side effects of the chemotherapy thereon. And I learned a lot. You know, outside of skin cancer, it's the number one cancer for men. And it's not some other, you know, like lung cancer or something. It's prostate cancer. 1 in 8 men.
It's like breast cancer. It's very parallel.
Exactly. And so here's a similarity, just a different end organ, as it were. And, you know, prostate cancer is now seen as a chronic illness, as it were. I mean, many men last a good 15 to 20 years after diagnosis, assuming it wasn't widely metastatic when it was diagnosed. So that's something important. That's why when women, you know, you're buying supplements and things like that, well, you want to be able to think about ways to be able to get them to maybe enhance their health and well-being by at least taking a little multiple vitamin. But, you know, now they have ones that are basically established beautifully for men as well as women. For the men, you could add in the saw palmetto for the prostate cancer. And this has been established by studies. And it's just really important to know about the incidence of these diseases so that you can ask your guy, when's the last time you had your prostate exam? Are they doing blood tests? et cetera, et cetera. So you can stay right on top of it. Now, I have an interesting question then. Is all of this changing with the young generation, with Generation Alpha, with Gen Z, even with the millennials? Is this all changing because maybe there's more discussion, more transparency, or am I reading way too much into this?
Well, the surveys that have been done, you know, have been done on men that were 18 and over. So I would say that inherent gender identity issues are not acquired. They're hardwired in many ways. And I think that probably the younger men may be more open to change, but are likely not manifesting all of that change. And they need the same kind of support and they need the same kind of education. Another thing that women can be aware of for their men's health is really heart disease. Not infrequently, I'll see somebody who says, you know, the guys in my family, they died in their 50s or even in their late 40s. They had a heart attack. And the guy will run around thinking, well, there's nothing I can do. But the fact of the matter is, if your father or your brother died of a heart attack before 55, I mean, that would be somebody who could look in to see if they have like a lipoprotein little A in their cholesterol profile or some other kind of genetic cause for increased clotting and other things that could cause a earlier heart attack. But it's worth investigating because there may be a lot of proactive things. And if they have a mother or a sister who died of a heart attack before or had a significant heart attack before age 65, the same would be true. It turns out that estrogen in women delays the onset of the increase in heart attacks by about a decade because they have to go through menopause in their mid-50s typically or somewhere in that ballpark. And because of that, they have a little bit more protection for a longer period of time, but then the curves are very similar. So men have a family history of heart attacks before 55 and women in their family before 65, then they should talk to their doctor about proactive things that they can do. Another area that's important is infertility. A lot of times people think that infertility is all about the woman. I mean, I did some of the first in vitro fertilizations in the country. A lot of the problems at that point were thought, you know, all due to women. And in fact, because there had been no other treatment, some of them were due to women, many. But about a third of infertility is due to men.
Wait a minute. How much? A third?
A third is due to men, a third is due to women, and a third is due to both. So if you are having trouble, difficulty having a child, and you go to see your doctor, you should drag your male partner along with you because there's no sense in checking out the woman going through 27 tests when the guy may have a very low sperm count. And so it's something, and sperm counts are on the decline in this last several decades. I mean, they are dropping very substantially, whether it's environment or whatever the causes are, they are coming down, down, down. And so it's very important because infertility is one of the few diagnoses that is a couple's diagnosis. You can't be infertile as one person. You have to have two people to make that diagnosis. Takes two to tango. So I encourage you, if that is the case, that you're having difficulty or it's taking longer than you think it should, and then the two of you go together and be seen. It will all come together much faster if the two of you go because you're addressing the unit that is necessary to conceive a child.
Wow. Ooh, speaking of infertility, let's go downstairs in a guy. So this whole issue of erectile dysfunction, premature ejaculation, all these things, are these things really difficult for a guy to share about?
Well, the answer in one word for you is absolutely. Guys don't want to talk about that. I mean, men want to be very proud of their male prowess, and they want to be able to, that's bragging rights, so to speak. I mean, let's face it, we're all on earth to procreate. That's why it's so important as a species. But it gets translated into the individual as wanting to be able to conceive. Premature ejaculation can typically be treated rather straightforward with specific kinds of therapy and techniques that can show a male how to overcome that problem. And that generally can be treated very easily. Erectile dysfunction is another problem. I mean, it ties into the prostate issues we were talking about earlier. So many men have had cancer, but that's why you saw so many commercials on television for erectile dysfunction, largely because so many men have been treated and they end up with a reduced ability to maintain an erection. And so they end up having these various treatments. And yes, it's nothing that anybody is really particularly happy about or proud about.
Also, you know, to your point about heart disease and everything, if you do have heart disease and especially diabetes, which is, I mean, ridiculously on the rise, type 2 diabetes, that also affects your function, right? Your sexual function.
Diabetes can create neuropathies, meaning that the nerves that go to different parts of your body get affected. So it affects people's feet. They lose feeling in their feet. And sometimes it gets so severe that there's even amputations. So that's the commonest cause of amputation in the foot. That's in a severe case, of course, but that does happen. But it can cause blindness in the eyes because of the nerves. And in the male sexual organ, it can cause impotence. And all of these things, of course, are disturbing, but they're not uncommon. And there again, if the male is unwilling or uncomfortable or just plain not getting regulated in terms of the blood sugars and going to the doctor regularly, he's going to have a problem. It just depends on what part of his body it's going to manifest in, but he's going to have a problem. But if he does go, and if the control of the blood sugar is really good, he can live a relatively normal, long life, with the exception you've got to take medicine for the diabetes, but it can really allow him to function normally, have a very productive, normal life and lifespan. But they have to be doing something proactive. That does not go away, and it can be treated, and the treatment can result in a very unaffected and very, very normal. And
I remember a story. You really kind of tickled my memory here. When I was hosting the National Body Challenge for the Discovery Health Television Network, what we had that season were some families, and we were going to work with these families. We're going to take them from, well, not such great, you know, fitness and all the rest of it, all the way to a good place, a much better place as a family. So there was a beautiful Hispanic family that we were working with, and their idea, you're going to love this, Maish, their idea of really great exercise was dancing. These people could dance like you have never seen. Mom and dad were in there just rocking it. So, you know, you don't have to become a gym rat and you don't have to do that. No, it's about play. It's about getting up, moving your body. But here's the story. He's a young guy. He was in his 30s. He was driving a big beverage truck, and what he was paid to do was basically back the truck up, you know, to the little platform there, wherever he was doing it. And then the guys there would unload it and back and forth. So we did blood testing on all these happy campers when they first showed up for the show. And he had no idea why he was peeing so much all the time. So he was urinating a whole lot. Of course, immediately my eyebrows went up and I went, front row, I know where this is going. Sure to form, he had been walking around with a blood glucose of 500. He literally was, you know, kind of diabetic there. So what he wanted to do was he wanted to work it off and change up how he ate. So we got a chef in there to change up everything and we got him to work it out. Son of a gun, over the course of time, over the series time, he literally dropped that thing down. He's now, you know, his hemoglobin A1C was sky high, and we were able to get it to below 6, which made us incredibly happy. And FYI out there, the closer you get to 5, the better. Like a 5.1, 5.2, we like that stuff. And his was way up there. He was able to sit down and go, oh my gosh, I had no idea. You know how he also did it? And you're going to love this part. He asked for a job change. He said, I'm going to drive, but when I get to the platform, I'm coming out of the truck and I'm going to unload. I mean, that's a huge amount of work. And you're really, you know, doing physical activity like there's no tomorrow. That's also contributed. And so in his guy mind, it was all about being practical, functional, and he was able to see a return on the investment for everything he did, which, you know, this whole story just speaks to so much of what we just talked about, walking around with things. I said, when was the last time you had a physical exam? I don't need one. I'm young, is what I was told.
I got two comments to make about that. One, the first one is, it's interesting that the guy that drives the truck and sits all day and the executive that runs the company and sits all day are at the same risk for the same kinds of conditions, because at both ends of the financial spectrum, they're doing the same amount of inactivity. The other thing I would say is that is a remarkable outcome, but I would say that that would not be your typical situation, and that most people would do much better to combine their treatment with medications, with the lifestyle changes and job changes and so forth, to really hope to get down to those normal levels. It's doable.
I completely agree with you, and that was discussed. But what he said was, you know, it's interesting. Is this a guy thing too? Probably, maybe not. I don't know. Which is, I don't want any medicine. You know, I'm going to show the world. It's, you know, he was pounding his chest at the same time, just so you know. I'm going to show the world that I could do this. Remember, he was on television, so he was trying to make a point. This isn't just some guy on the street who just showed up at your office and, you know, you're going to end up. I mean, the whole world was watching him. And he really tried hard. I've never seen a guy work that hard. He was quite fortunate. He's young and we caught it early enough and back and forth. But good grief. He also was given a forewarning that should he slip up again, right? It's just waiting for him because he's already shown the tendency.
Oh, yeah. That's gone nowhere. It's simply under control because of all that effort. But you know, the fact is, it shows that lifestyle can make a huge difference, and it shows the importance of attention to what you eat, the exercise you do, and the stress you're under, and all the other things that contribute to your blood sugar, but also just stress, anxiety, and kind of the challenges in life. You know, I think, though, in terms of trying to stay with the intention of our discussion, is that the partners can play a huge impact in their partner's health and well-being. And I think that it's important to talk about it because, you know, they can really encourage regular checkups for their partners, encourage them to do the screenings, be aware of what screenings are. I mean, men should be getting colonoscopies. They should be getting prostate checks. They should be having blood testing for their blood sugar and hemoglobin A1C, as we just talked about, for their prostate-specific antigen, their cholesterol levels. These are routine things that they can easily do with a blood test and some limited amount of doing. It's important for women to try to understand some of these common health issues so they can talk about them meaningfully with their partners, and they can try to encourage healthy habits. I mean, still today, women do most of the cooking in most households. It's not certainly far from the universal truth, but they do, and also often do the shopping. And if it's not in the house, it's a lot harder to eat it. So you can really improve your health with your shopping cart, because if you make healthy choices and leave some of the processed foods and sodas out, you go a long way to not having it in there. And the truth of the matter is, men are drinking a lot more sodas than women. They drink about 2 to 3 times more sodas. These are really a ton of sugar and not really a very healthy choice.
I also think that the other piece to it, and you're tickling my memory about something else too, is, you know, I've flown in and out of O'Hare a lot because my med school was in Michigan. But regardless, now years later, I'm still kind of ending up at O'Hare at connecting flights and whatever. And one day we had some kind of a weather issue. What else is new with O'Hare? I was in the United Club where I belong. And, you know, I noticed that there was a loudspeaker that basically said, you know, we're going to be delayed even more, folks, because of the snow or the God knows what's going on out there. All right. What I noticed were women would go to the snack bar. And there were like, you know, tons of, you know, all kinds of wild and crazy things to eat. Where'd the men go? They all went to the bar. Literally, I took a picture of it. It was hysterical. Women were all just, you know, where the food was. Men were all where the alcohol. And quite frankly, to your point, other beverages were located. And I thought to myself, huh, so are men more likely to drink more alcohol or basically go to the alcohol place than women?
Well, a lot depends on that. I mean, if they're with another guy, they may go and have a drink. It's a social thing to do and so forth. But a lot of people don't realize that the most a guy should be drinking a day is 2 drinks a day. That's 3 ounces of spirits or 2 beers or 10 ounces of wine per day. I mean, alcohol is a toxin, even though we like to think of it as something very positive and it's good. But it's bad for your brain. It's a lot of sugar. And women should only be drinking 1 drink a day, tops, 1 beer or 1 glass of wine. And ideally, it should be less than that in terms of the negative impacts. But guys, it's a social thing. It's a socially acceptable way to interact. Playing a sport is interacting. Having a drink is interacting. It's an excuse or a scenario in which some communication can take place. So yeah, I mean, I'm sure going to the bar is.
I remember it like it was yesterday because I was laughing my head off observing the whole thing as I was making my way to the snack bar. We were all stress eating and and stress drinking because we knew we were stuck there forever. You know, get me out of O'Hare. That's why I call it O'Scare.
O'Scare.
That's my name for that airport.
But you know, women are much more likely though, if they do go and snack and get something, they're much more likely to be conscious of what the contents of it are and to look at the calories and what it consists of. Men just look at it and say, that looks good, and they eat it. You know, they're not particularly there reading the labels, wondering about calories, fat, sodium, and so forth. So there are differences.
I don't know. As the day gets longer and, you know, I'm tired and my vulnerability factor is up, I don't look at anything.
I'm not talking perfection. I'm talking generalizations here.
Oh, my goodness gracious. You know, talking to you right now about the whole issue of guys in our lives at whatever level, I think it's just, you know, one big message I'm hearing from you, Mesh, is how important it is to get involved and to do as much as you can to engage and to do things together. If it's humanly possible, try to do things together. Hey, let's take a walk after dinner. As we now know, the science shows that whenever you have a meal, the best thing you could possibly do is get up off your little you-know-whats and walk, because it helps re-regulate, you know, your blood sugar and your hemoglobin A1C, all the rest of it.
My wife and I do after every meal, we take at least a 10-minute walk.
There you go. I do the same thing. We just get up and we rock and roll. And that's the way it's got to be. So doing things together and then staying engaged, like, how was that physical exam? You want me to make that appointment for you? I kind of know your schedule. I see your calendar. Let me just do that because I know you're real busy. And then working together with that, reminding each other. You know, one of the things my husband does is sometimes when I get up out of my desk, even though I'm standing right now in my studio, but sometimes I sit down and I also tap away at the old computer. When I get up, I don't realize my posture's rotten because I kind of got into that little, what I call it, you know, it's the cashew look. You know, I'm just sort of like that. So what he'll do is he'll say, Pam posture. Those two words, we came up with a little, see, we did it together. We came up with something that would immediately alert me. And so immediately I throw my shoulders back and I'm like doing my whole little posture thing. And we work together. At the same time, I do a lot of things for him as well to be able to make certain that he's getting optimal health. So I just think that the purpose of our beautiful conversation today was the ability to elevate the conversation and the discussion about men's health and how it impacts us. So it's super important. And by the way, I'm wagging my finger. So when we talk about one particular topic, and you're going to love this one, sleep apnea. Do you know how many women have to drag their husbands in for a sleep study? I don't want to go. Nothing's wrong with me. So what? I snore a little bit. Meanwhile, we as women are watching them have completely apneic episodes, meaning they just stop breathing. Well, if you want to get my attention, just stop breathing. Okay? It's really important. I just heard about two more stories just like this week, where women were like, you know, I dragged him in. And of course, it showed in each case that he was quite apneic and they require therapy, meaning that, you know, the CPAP or the BiPAP machines. Well, BiPAP as well. What's really important is there are times when you are going to have to drag them in there and you're going to have to get kind of firm and aggressive because you care about them. So I just think it's so beautiful what you said, Maish, about the whole issue of doing this as an engaged, as it were, partnership and a loving one. And leading with compassion.
I think it's important you can be supportive, but be non-judgmental. Guys don't do well when you judge them. But if you observe something and point it out in a non-judgmental way, they can open to listening. And pick your time and pick your place. I mean, it's not, if it's after a heated moment or after in a setting that's not good, that's not the right time. And ask open-ended questions. Things that make it easy for the guy to answer in the way that he wants to. And then focus on the positive instead of criticizing. Instead of saying what he's not doing, talk about the things that he has been doing that are positive. These kind of protect the sensitive sensibilities of the guy, and you get a lot farther that way.
You know, everyone out there in the Her Podcast land, there's a really special reason why I have Dr. Maish Seibel on. And the reason is this: he has dedicated his life to women's health, but interestingly, ended up also working in men's health. How? It's because the women would come in with their partner, whether they were married or not, or back and forth, and he would have to work with both in order to be able to optimize the health and wellness of the woman. And that's where you really see so much of the interaction between a man and a woman, especially when it involves maybe an upsetting disease state, maybe a big decision about fertility or whatever else. And after 25 years of that, you kind of got a win-win out of this, Maish. You became a guy's expert and a woman's expert.
Well, I tell you, if you observe the people that you see, you learn a lot. When the couples come in, you see how they react to each other, how close they put their chairs together, what their hands are doing, their arms folded or open, if they're holding hands. But also, you have to take into consideration how the men's health is affecting the woman's health. I mean, these two things, when you live with someone, they're very interactive. And it's very important. And you make a very important point. But I really think that if the woman can be a partner in her partner's health care, or if it's her parent and her parent's health, and provide information, provide resources. And you can even lead by example. If you're eating healthy and you're exercising, it's a lot easier to just say, come on, let's do this together kind of a thing.
You are who you hang out with. You know, there's no question. Mesh, I can't begin to tell you how special this whole episode has been. You know, I could talk to you forever, and of course we do anyway, but I'm just saying that it's so important to have a balanced view of this whole male and female partnership optimizing wellness issue, and that women need to respect the fact that there are major differences here in the way men approach health and well-being and themselves. And then for men to, once again, really open up their hearts in a compassionate, non-judgmental way. It goes both ways. We have to be compassionate and non-judgmental to each other and to really be open to listening.
So that's a so important point, what you said. If the guy opens up, don't say anything. Just listen actively.
He opened up. Oh my God, he's using the word feeling, you know. And so this is where you put a little duct tape on your mouth, sit back and enjoy the ride, girlfriends, because this is a rarity. But, you know, if you make it a welcoming, non-judgmental one, and if you have really great listening skills, then this is where it's really going to work. You know, Mesh, I just want to thank you on behalf of the whole Herb podcast team for being on our podcast and sharing your marvelous, marvelous wit and wisdom. I can't thank you enough.
It's been my pleasure, and I'm happy to talk about this. It doesn't get talked about enough. And in this way, by opening the topic, at least maybe some people will begin to think about this that hadn't thought about it before or get a new perspective on how to go about it. And I hope so.
I hope so, too. Everyone, we've been talking to one of my absolute best friends and colleagues, Dr. Mesh Seibel, who spent 25 years on the Harvard Medical School faculty. And all I can tell you is that we are so honored to have him on to shed a little bit of male wisdom our way and to be able to help us understand why it's so important to work together in a relationship. Oh my gosh. Okay. And by the way, it's not just a romantic relationship. The guy thing could be, I mean, it could be your father. It could be your brother. It could be some guy in your life who you really care about, but you want to help. So we concentrate a little bit more on a marriage or a partnership, but it could be any guy in your life. Just be aware of the fact that they have struggles too, maybe a little bit different than us. So, oh my gosh, everyone, this has been a fabulous show. Hop on over to iTunes right now, rate and review the show because we love, love, love your feedback. And here's another wonderful shout out to our sponsor, Solaray Vitamins. Check out the Her Life Stages products. Run on over to Solaray.com or your local health food store, Sprouts, Whole Foods, Amazon. You're going to love it. We got your back on that hormonal journey. Ah, this has been another amazing Her podcast. I'm Dr. Pam Peek, your host, and I want to thank each and every one of you for listening in and being such an important part of our Her podcast community. Pop on over to drpeek.com to learn more about my work and social media and join me every single week for another Her podcast where you're going to hear from extraordinary, entertaining, and engaging thought leaders just like Dr. Mesh Seibel as we share our wit and wisdom for you to enjoy. Thanks so much. And remember that your time in this world may be limited, but the things you can do with that time are not. So get on out there, seize the day, carpe diem, and have a great one.